everyone. Welcome to our Sunrise Project call on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm so grateful you're all here with us in this very safe space that's filled with love and compassion and a mutual desire to heal ourselves first and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am so delighted to be here this morning with a new friend that I met in 2022, Kalina Ross Peterson, where we're going to talk about a really important topic called cutting the cord to save myself, heal my family, and maintain my daily wellness. And we were just talking about how important it is to cut the cord, particularly with some of our young people. Let me introduce you to Kalina. She is amazing. So, Kalina Ross Peterson is a beloved mother of three beautiful children, a highly artistic woman, especially when it comes to the culinary arts, quick thinking ability, and her extremely personable, humorous, resourceful, motivating spirit. She brings a high sense of integrity to her work and to the lives of others, including me, in the little time that I have known her. Since 2019, she has been a certified facilitator in several modalities, committed to creating an overall wellness lifestyle through purposeful mental health workshops for girls, women, and community members, with an emphasis on the importance of nutrition. Kalina lives in Denver, Colorado, and serves as the associate director of an incredible foundation called From the Heart Foundation. Incredible, they're doing incredible work. Throughout her 20s, she worked in early childhood education, all in childcare, Montessori, and public schools, which inspired a passion to learn more about the importance of the connected adult presence within children's lives. This then began a new journey of branching out into the community, and Kalina Ross Productions, LLC, was created. Her event company, which ultimately became an award-winning small business, congratulations, focused on creating intentional spaces that were not only child-friendly, but added elements of childlike themes to help restore the inner child in adults. In 2014, Kalina battled with dyshidrotic eczema, where she endured traumatic physical pain for over 2 years. This took a tremendous psychological toll. Give me 1 second. This took a tremendous psychological toll on her and yet inspired her to embark upon a journey for an overall lifestyle of healing and wellness. In 2016, a remedy became apparent, and after battling with many medical procedures and approaches, she finally found relief for one aspect of her journey through her diet. Can't wait to hear about that. She obtained a nutritional health coach certification in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 2017 and shifted her event planning business to health coaching. She has become known around the Denver metro area as Kalina Poppins, which I love. Her mission in nutritional education shifted to helping all people, but especially Black men over 40 years old. This new mission was born due to the loss of her father in 2003 from stomach cancer, which now she believes was caused primarily due to his diet and ultimately his premature passing at only 45 years old. As Kalina continued her journey to wellness, in 2018, she was drawn to the From the Heart Foundation's mission and purpose and began volunteering for From the Heart events, becoming a trained facilitator and ultimately holding an executive office in the organization. Seeing her nutritional mission with greater value under the For the Heart Foundation umbrella, she ran headfirst into their mission to uplift fallen humanity, one man, one woman, and one child at a time. Although the From the Heart Foundation was initially a male youth and adult serving organization, the need quickly grew for a focus on girls and women within the community. So Kalina has pivoted and accepted her new role as associate director of the From the Heart Foundation, where she helps create programming, grant writing, and facilitating in several mental health modalities. She enjoys being a part of a collective thought force, which creates a greater impact for community well-being, mental, physical, and spiritual health, aiming to make changes that will last a lifetime. And she is a frequent caller here at the Sunrise Project and a dear friend who I am grateful to have as part of our community. So welcome, Kalina. I'm so happy you're here with us this morning, and thank you for getting up early and joining us. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me.
We are thrilled that you are here. As I mentioned, we had a wonderful opportunity to meet in 2022 and then meet in person recently when we were out dropping Kyle off for school this a few months ago. So happy that you're here. I want to start with you sharing a little bit about your journey. You know, what brought you? Right? Give us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and tell us about your journey to mental health and to the work that you're doing right now.
Well, thank you, Kelly. You know, I was actually, you know, those moments in life where you kind of just sit back and just unfold the different ages of your life and how, you know, you got to where you were. And I thought,
yes,
ever since I was a teenage, you know, girl, it was me wanting to always create an environment that was peaceful and active and included love. From,
yes.
You know, I remembered the other day that my first event at 17 was in my home, and it was a tea party for all my friends. But you know, I'm like, that's where it started. And I even worked in my high school, had a daycare in it. And that was one of my classes, you know, so
oh.
Like between understanding children and hosting these small, unique events as a teenager, it just kept leading on into even, you know, my 20s, it would be the Friday night known dinner party at my house with 13, you know, estranged friends. And just giving people a place to land home, almost, I'd say.
Absolutely. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Denver, Colorado, mostly
Okay.
Oak Hill and Mayfair area.
And that's where you're still living now.
Well, like now, first time I'm living in Aurora. And,
okay.
You know, we all say when you grow up in Denver, you're like, ooh, Aurora. But it's like such a new experience. I love it.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you, well, let's jump to our topic for today, you know, cutting the cord. I was just, as we were talking earlier this morning, I was sharing that Kyle, who will be home, my eldest, he'll be home in a couple days from Boulder. He's announced that he's not going to go back to school. He wants to go to LA. He's going to work and make money, et cetera. And I just took a deep breath and said, okay. Which is cutting the cord to a degree, right? But how, tell me about your experience with cutting the cord and how that has manifested in your life with your children. What does that mean for you?
You know, initially it's cutting the cord to restore my sanity.
Yes.
It's the journey started around 2019, 2020 with my 18-year-old. I have two older daughters, you know, 20 and 18 are my older daughters, and I have a son who's one. But, you know, there was a moment when throughout our journey of them growing up, it was very much, you know, me and my daughters, and not to say against their father, it was, we were living through his personality, let's say. And in 2019, it completely shifted and they went with him. So by 2020, I hadn't known at the time, but I had found out that a month before they had not only left my life and didn't want to have anything to do with me at the time, but he moved them to San Francisco during, you know, during that next few months. And at that point, it's like, you know, I was fighting, you know, before I knew that they were moving, and I was just distraught and driving myself crazy. And I mean, through the help and understanding of a lot of older parents, you know, within From the Heart itself, I did start to see that, you know, the tighter you hold on, the more resistance almost that
absolutely.
You're going to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're in San Francisco, what else can I do? And no one wanted to talk to me. So, and we're in the pandemic. So it's like, I got to cut this cord for now.
For
But I
now.
want to emphasize in that especially being a mother who had their actual cord attached to you, it's that I'm going to cut the cord, but not detach from all accountability. But to guide. And that became a new thought in that, we have to let go. We have to let them test and trust in whatever faith we have that they will be carried through it, right? From letting them go at daycare to preschool to grade school and then into the world, right? But as you know, and fathers, it can feel like your heart is literally being ripped out. And so, that was what a lot of 2020 was, but I knew that the worst thing I could do in that moment is to let go of myself too.
Yeah.
You know?
When he took them to San Francisco, though, were they under 18 at the time?
Yes, actually. And the thing about, and the more topic of my 18-year-old today is that she is not biologically his.
Okay.
And, throughout the years, we always discussed, the legalities of it. But, interestingly enough, when he took them, he was trying to finally get that legality of his parenting. But by, what are we in? So 23, by March of 2021, he ended up first starting with kicking out the 18-year-old, putting her on a plane and dropping her off at my mom's front door. And then when 2 months later, he kicked the other one out and dropped her off at my mother's house.
Wow.
They were still so sensitive that they still weren't ready to talk to me. But that was one of those things where it was like, again, cutting the cord to keep my sanity, but still being there in my accountability as a parent. And especially with their age, regardless of what they have done to me. I think that's part of that unconditional, agape, godly love.
Right, right.
I don't have the ability. I had to learn that in this lesson, especially through the summer, that at least so far, because, you never want to say never, but I just haven't found the ability to completely cut them out ever, no matter what's been done to me. And I know I've seen that from other parents.
Right.
What I've been conscious of in that is the self-care.
Right.
And,
Yes, I do. Did you ever get the girls back in Aurora or Denver? Did they ever come back to you?
No, not necessarily. So we'll start just because it's a shorter, point with Kyla, my 20-year-old. When they got dropped off at my mother's, that was also a very pivotal moment because a week later we had already planned for my mom also to move to Tennessee with my older brother. So they ended up moving into this house with a couple girls. And that was definitely a 6 month wild ride of no one really knowing what was going on. But at the end of the 6 months, they were losing the lease because it was a long situation and, included even my brother involved in it. And but the odd part was, is the, the 20-year-old's father, both of theirs really, he said that she could come back, but that my 18-year-old couldn't. And so, I ended up finding her a place to live because what I did know. So again, cutting the cord, but knowing I can't leave this spirit in the world
right.
with nothing,
with
especially
nothing.
Because she didn't have anything as far as friends and family. My family's very small, but knowing that too, because I put some notes about the accountability still of her age and everything she had gone through, the accountability is on us at that time still a little bit. Like, you are a product of us.
Right.
Good or bad. So, I did, and that's what led to the next stage of 8 months of I'm happy I'm still here. for, you know, my mental health, because, you know, it was, that's really when she attempted high school. But I'm sure a lot of parents on the line and yourself know that after the pandemic, she didn't know how to go back into school and feel safe. And not only that, the moment we put her in about a month after, there was a shooting at East High School again. So, you know, after that, that's when she kind of just gave into the world and started with a Xanax addiction.
Got it. Yeah. I think it's so similar to my situation, very similar, and probably a lot of people on the phone where COVID has just, you know, had such traumatic effects on us and our community and our children. And you're explaining yet another example of how it impacted your daughter and you, because what I want to just touch on is what you said, I'm happy I'm alive, you know, because during that period, and you mentioned it was a 9-month period of probably major depression and suicidal ideation, perhaps, I don't know, but I know I had, you know, years ago, I was like, what is going on? And so when you said that struck a chord. It's like, I'm grateful I'm here every morning. It's like, oh, I'm here. Woke up. Thank you, God.
Physically, in itself, the amount of pivoting and transition in these years, I mean, that's why I guess today was a moment of like, you go, girl. You know what I mean? You wake up in this joy still.
Yes.
And, you know,
my coffee cup says joy this morning. And it's most of the days it says peace, because that's what I'm aspiring to have, is a state of peace in my life and my spirit and my home, you know, in my world, just everywhere. Like, where is the peace? Peace. That is, and you just mentioned joy. That's on my cup.
I love it. I want to just briefly touch on the recent 9 months.
Yes, that's please.
Part. But in COVID and, you know, pandemic, I just want to honor that me and Dr. Aliyah from the heart, I mean, that was such a unique opportunity for us, because it really was such a positive experience, interestingly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
what was the positive experience? Which part? The connecting on the foundation piece? Is that what you mean?
I think because it was a moment for us to say, here we are in lockdown. I can't do what I do at the time, events, nannying, you know, and not even nutritional coaching, because I hadn't really advanced to Zoom coaching, you know, at that time. And his career was shifting. So it was like, well, we're here. So why don't we go head on this? You know, I'm like, look,
really
I'm
push the foundation. Yes.
Yeah. 20 years of in and out of office experience, event planning, what do you need? Let's go. And then just because it was mental health, that's why we were able to stay so grounded, because we had to fight for our people that were needing it, or having their, you know, psychiatrist shut down because of their own breakdown. So it's like, well, what are we going to do? And so it became such a driving force and held us. So I'm just grateful that even though the storms were there, I had something to fight for still.
And the foundation does incredible work. So for people that don't know, the From the Heart Foundation is an incredible nonprofit organization. Can you share what you do with the foundation? And I want to go back to your 18-year-old and what's happening with her, because I feel like we didn't complete that thought.
Right. Well, I mean, we work with men, women, and youth. Youth is our greater source and population of healing. We offer mental health and wellness workshops, one-on-one mentoring for all. Dr. Lali himself is, you know, definitely one of our keynotes and does a lot of speech engagement in the community, and works with a lot of other organizations in that, you know, way. But mental health and wellness workshops, from weekly to yearly. We just finished one of our biggest events, which is Triggers, and that's a youth gun violence and suicide ideation awareness event. So I always love that time
of year. Young men, I love that. And those are in Denver.
Yeah, definitely.
So
But
incredible.
we do have the video for this year. I can share with you later.
Please. And then you yourself do virtual workshops and support calls for women and girls, correct?
Oh, yes. I actually just last Sunday finished an 8-week series. So
That's awesome.
we'll have something in January or early February, you know, the holiday time.
Yeah, so when you have that ready to go, we will send that out to people and make sure we connect because I love that too. But back to your, thank you for sharing that. Back to your 18-year-old, because you said you were going to share about what was happening with her right now and what's going on. And if you're comfortable, I think that's what you said.
That's what we're here for.
Yes, okay.
Right? After she kind of, I can only understand Xanax now by her and its effects, but I had to really confirm that, honestly, through talk videos of people on Xanax. And I say that because, man, I have been educated
Okay.
in so many ways of mental health, but that one in particular was one that at least made me understand this is not my child right now. And between June of this year, May of this year up until last month was something I definitely couldn't be prepared for, but she ended up losing the place that I had found her. And after that, I mean, hooked up with a friend who was also, on the same direction with Xanax, and that led to finding a partner who was abusing her, and that's when I really was understanding what was happening because she shifted so much at that time. That was first couple weeks of June, and she kind of went silent, and I'm like, that's not her. Even on her, I would get something every few days, but in that, and in the understanding of my shadow work, I knew that that was a sign that something is wrong. You know what I mean? Isolation, being quiet, that was actually quite reflective of my own, journey and trauma. And so I just, at that time, I mean, you pray, but I was definitely thankful at the time that she was still sharing her location. And I have to mention that because these iPhones, that's how I saved her life in August. At 2 o'clock in the morning, if I had
Thank God.
location and this phone and six different apps, I would not have pulled her out of it. But that journey from, I'm texting her. Finally, she admits to the physical abuse with this partner, and they happen to be in a car, and I'm like, okay, yeah, think quick again. These phones, right? And I call a friend who owns a coffee shop. I have her take her there. And then, the other friend's calling the cops. And I'm like, this is your chance, But it ends up at least getting her out of the situation. But that led again to her really taking on the streets, because part of that cutting the cord to keep my sanity and what I've built too. Was and having my newborn son, I knew that my mother love could be present, but I had to protect what I had here. And taking in somebody with an addiction to that level, as I mentioned, I've dealt with a parent with addiction at one time. And even during that time, it was my mother after my father passed, and I had to move away. Now, mind you, I mean, it ended up that I stayed close to her, but I knew what that boundary was, but I wasn't going to leave her. But that too, I mean, I was her source. We were each other's source after my father passed. But so I just, I knew I couldn't bring her to my current home life, but I had to trust that she was okay, and I was just watching these locations. But then it became, a whole, I would say between May and August, my daughter probably died six times
This year, this
this year.
month.
Yeah, she definitely probably had 50 plus, who knows, to this day, doses of Narcan to have her life saved.
Oh,
from
God.
funny hospital visits, from panic attack, anxiety, too much drinking. I mean, all the things where you wake up at 6 in the morning and you're like, why are you at Rose Hospital? And you know, and knowing in that boundary and in that the cord, I can't really always run down to that hospital. And as a mother too, and I'm only saying the mother because I know it, and it we have that actual DNA in the cord where it's like that was some of the hardest lessons, to not get in my car each time to, you know, go save her. But what I did know, you know, what I did learn in that, I'm like, I know, I is that in that I could still help her, but you know what I mean? To a certain degree, because at some point I have to trust her
Just.
journey in this humanhood, right?
Yes.
So, gosh.
That's
And then,
really hard.
you
That's so hard. I am in awe of you for working through all of that and still, like you said, the mom and you and the connection, staying connected and making sure that you're letting her know that you love her. And yet you have to protect your own sanity, your own mental health. And I just want to touch on, because you said this, but I want to make sure everybody heard it. It's hard living with an addict, especially someone addicted to, sounds like Xanax or other narcotics.
something
And
outward.
yes, and you when you look at the person, you're like, this is not my child. And then you're uncomfortable because you're not exactly sure what might happen because it's not your child. They're in a state of the effect of the drug. And so
And the
there's
things
this,
they do.
in those times where you're like, I'm actually uncomfortable because this is not the person that I know and love. This is not my child. This is the drugs talking and acting and behaving in ways that could be scary. So that's really hard. They are scary. And then you don't want to call the police, I imagine.
No.
So you then are just praying constantly, just praying constantly.
In that divine, you know, intervention in that, and hold a positive expectation. I wrote something from a lady I love. She's an author, where Florence Scovel Shinn, she's a writer, and she says that to agree that the adverse situation is good. So, you know, yeah, that keeping a positive expectation, regardless of the journey, whether it's painful or not. There was a time in the middle of the summer where she was finally, I had convinced her. It was one of those boundary cutting moments, 10 o'clock at or 9 o'clock at night, I say, because she had an hour to decide at that time. And this was, you know, second week in July, or in July. And I was like, look, I can't save you. As much as you might feel as your mother or father's that I can save you, I can't. And at this point, I've given you these resources. There's a youth shelter downtown. You've denied me earlier in the week, but this is your next step. This is the only place you can go. There is beds, there is showers, there's food, there's counseling, but this is where I need you to go before I can intervene anymore. And so at 9:40, she texted and said, okay, I'll go.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that was a big moment, because it was the moment of like, okay, she's off the street. Because in between all that was what I'd say her comfort in her trauma was being used by men. So I never knew where she was, or, you know what I mean? What are you doing to get the drugs? I don't know, but I'm trusting that you're here. And this is where I need you to go now. So once I got her there, it's not that she really leveled out, because, you know, respectfully, in a youth, you know, houseless shelter, which now From the Heart does work in,
That's awesome.
you know, that you're still dealing with a sort of street life. And,
Yeah.
you know, that's okay. But because, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, at least they're safe at night. They have to check in at 10, so I know she's there at night. But, you know, that really, again, took a turn, because she just went harder on pills. And at the time, too, me learning of course, then you get into all of it, right? And learning all about it. And then you learn about fentanyl. And then you really can't sleep at night.
Oh, Lord.
Because you're like, please don't. Please, please, please don't let her take anything with fentanyl. You know, like, you know, guide her at least to something a little bit more healthy. But, you know, there was a, so then, you know, after a couple of weeks there, she ended up getting really sick, like super, super flu sick.
Physically sick. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that at that time, I could see her sort of leveling out. But, you know, like you said, you don't really know this person. So it's not that I, like, I can see you when I'm there and I talk to you. I know that child. I know her true spirit. But right now, I don't know if I'm being manipulated or not. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
So it's like, okay, this was occurring, but she was so sick. And she said she had a plan to go to San Francisco to live with a friend who had an apartment.
Yeah, that's what.
That's only important because that's the one that I literally, I had to fight in that instance. But, you know,
get
I
her out of the, that was the partner that was abusive. And so it was.
No, no, no. That was a partner's gone, but it was the summer of her being on the street.
Yes, yes, yes.
The sickness and between me and my, you know, between me and my partner, he agreed that she could come and stay with us for the 2 weeks till we work on the plan to get her to San Francisco. And again, not only just your daughter, but also your daughter who also is carrying your shadows. So that too, when you're so, and I say that because it's like that master sort of manipulator.
Yes.
I near taught her to be. And I'm saying that invulnerability because it's what kept me alive for those 16 years of being in that situation previously. Is like I had to manipulate the whole day to be able to rest at night. But seeing it come out in my daughter in this 2 weeks, not knowing that she was still hiding the Xanax, you know what I mean? At the time, I didn't know until she was in San Francisco. And still struggling with drinking at the time, you know, all the things that are coming out of her. And I'm like, are you okay? And why are you shaking today? Or, you know, learning her for these 2 weeks. And I really thought that we were leaving her on that plane. I'm sure you know the feeling. In success. I had got her first month rent ready. You know what I mean? Like set up everything. I said, this is my contribution. If you're going to go and live with your little girlfriend and have fun and be in San Francisco, I love it. Right. But I get her there. And that's really when the darkest of the darkest happened. And, you know, within 2 weeks, sure, she got a job, but she picked up Xanax. It was meeting guys off, you know, fights. And then eventually learning she had stolen money from the girlfriend she lived with and they kicked her out. And that one only matters because that was the night when I truly had to cut the cord because I didn't know where she was, but I saw her on the map frozen. And that was the night where she ended up getting roofied and used by multiple people and barely making it, learning then that it was part of a potential sex trafficking issue. And I say that's the moment when it was like, I will be here for my own boundaries and my own health. But to me, that was a moment in these situations where you know God is telling you to not give up. So that's different than cutting the cord. That's fighting. A birth is not painless, right?
Okay. This is absolutely a birth is moment, not painless. That's right.
Right? But a moment for me to fight for life itself. And if we're lucky to have someone in our corner at that time, then I will do that. But what I had to also understand in this moment is as the offer of this, that I have to know and accept that within my role, I might get hurt too, but that's the human connection, the spirit, and that's the unconditional love.
Absolutely.
Is that you don't deserve this, but you do, because you are mine in this in the sense of, right, you came through me, sure. You're your own individual, but in that next 48 hours, it was her crawling with bags on the street, passing out, being, you know, coming off this roofie experience, but being on the street And I wanted to say F off at that moment because she wasn't being, she was baking for 8 hours. And then it was, she's passing out on the phone. And this is like midnight. And I'm like, I'm downstairs. It's quiet, right? You know that too, because you're trying to keep this chaos from the house. And I'm like, I'm done. And then I was like, no, you're not, dude. Your daughter's on the streets of San
You're never
Francisco.
done. You're never really done.
So I start calling all the places around where she's passing around. Everyone's closed. I finally get her to answer. I find a hostel for her to go to, find a Lyft for her to get into, tell the Lyft driver, I'm right on the corner with bags. Find me. Get her there. She explodes. That turns into a thing. She loses that. We're on the streets. She's nearly dying. What, you know, I just happened to glance TikToks that she was there somewhere, find that location. I mean, I'm like, probably look like a crazy person at this point. But that, you know, that, to the point I said, by the time she lost the Airbnb on a Friday, I said, you have a flight on Sunday and you already knew that. Your only job now is to get on that plane. But then later finding out there was a Narcan saving her life experience that Sunday morning. The person she said with called her when she got back to Denver and said, you know, you were dying. You weren't breathing for a while. And it was, you know, those, and I still wanted to give up. I got her to answer the phone on at 4 o'clock on Sunday at one of our biggest From the Heart events. So that too, you're running an event and saving a life. You know, the work
at the same time.
But I got her and I said, I need you to wake up and be coherent. I have a Lyft coming. I know your location. If you don't get on that, I don't know what to do. But she got on it. And at that point, that's when I gave it back to God. I said, okay, she's in the Lyft. She's on the way to the airport. Her phone's, you know, the location stopped moving. And I said, if she makes that plane, she makes the plane. But I got to get back into my work. And, you know, she ended up getting here at 10 o'clock that night. I think it was like August 3rd or something, or, you know, something like that. And made it to my mom's house by 6 a.m. But then, you know, that led, she went rambunctious for another couple weeks. And I'm only saying that because today I can say that it's been about a month. She's still kind of squatting with a friend right now, but we're on a positive. I don't know what really shifted. Maybe it was the multiple Narcan deaths, but she came back and even had some more physical sexual abuse happen to her in her choices and, you know, where her mind is and trauma, but she's at least off Xanax.
Thank God.
So I am grateful and loving there.
Absolutely.
And she's coherent and that girl's coming back, but I also know that's her journey now. And
yes.
Insanity of I will be here. That's why I said to you in the beginning, I don't know how to completely let go.
But
cut the cord, but I'll still be here. I'll still answer your calls. Not every time now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's a longer part of the story.
Well, thank you for being so vulnerable. You see me over here like tears, 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 because I can relate to a lot of this. But I think what you just said is so true. Even not taking all the calls, you know, Kyle calls at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. My ringer is never on intentionally because it would make me really crazy because it rings nonstop and buzzes and, you know, but I sometimes just turn the phone over and then I'll see I missed a call at 4 in the morning. Okay. Let me call back.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some days are better than others. And, but we have to protect ourselves. And I think that's really at the end of the day, you have gone through so much, Kalina, and I so applaud you for how you have, and admire you for how you've stayed there despite it all with your daughters, plural, and turned it over to God because she will be okay. She's already going to be okay. She's made progress. And what a blessing. And all those, all the Narcan, you know, all the recoveries. It's like God saying, nope, it's not her time yet. No, not her time. What a blessing.
That's the daily wellness part, right?
So how do you take care of yourself in the midst of all of this? What are some of the things that you do And I want to invite people to ask questions as well, either in the chat or you can come off of mute. But how do you take care of yourself on a daily?
You know, I wrote down, to first understand in your daily wellness to what really keeps you healthy daily, and then go attack your problems, right? Because running away doesn't usually make the problem go away, it just draws it near.
And it also just takes it to another location.
Right, exactly. Or another person. You run, it's coming closer the next time. But like the first thought I had was, first, being respectfully aware of self-love first. And I mean that because it sometimes it could be a selfish self-love in that cutting the cord. And I don't mean it in that way, but like, first, yes, my self-love, what do I need in this day? And knowing that some days it's just simple maintenance. All I can do today is drink this coffee. I took a shower. I did the laundry. And that's good enough for today's. But knowing too, and I will, promote real quick, the Wellness Recovery Action Plan helps you build that. That's something we offer, a workshop, but it helps you really truly break down who you are so that you can build healthy daily wellness in that. But I think it's really that I keep up on those little things. I might have 2 hours where you're distraught or down or just feeling off, but I think it's that taking those tiny little steps. Today might be a fancy lunch, and then I'll go back and attack the problem. Like, all right, I just had a great sushi lunch. Thank you for this, God. All right, what do you need?
Yes.
Filling
Being
my
grateful for the small things. And you have a 1-year-old you shared. And so that's got to give you life and energy and the focus on, little life that is brand new. The now.
But I mean, that to me, I didn't want it to sound so simple, but it's like knowing now my daily wellness and what that truly looks like. Even this morning, I was like, Kalina, do you really need to make coffee for before 6:45? You could do it after. And I was like, yes, I do. Like, yes, no, I need this coffee because it's part of this daily wellness for me to do great on this call. As soon as that is, that's what I needed
It's
today.
just every day for me. It's not even a question. It
Yeah.
is part of my life. It's like one thing that I refuse to give up, and that's okay. It's okay.
You, me too.
Yep, it's okay.
Maintaining daily is
Yeah.
something.
I think a couple things you said to me, knowing that there's certain things that you just know you're going to do that you love, accept that and do it. But you also mentioned gratitude. And I think that that is a huge part, looking at the things that you're grateful for. And you mentioned that as well, like, being grateful that she's still alive, your daughter, what a blessing. I feel the same way with
Yeah.
Kyle, and so
You wake up and look at
it's
the
like, I look
article.
where he is. It still says Boulder. Yay, he's in Boulder. And so that's wonderful. And he's coming home Tuesday. That's wonderful. And like looking at the grant the pieces of gratitude. And well, I think that's major. And you also talked about nutrition earlier. So can you share some tips? Because you talked about your father died of stomach cancer, I want to say, and you shifted your journey there. To nutrition and health. Can you share more on that?
Well,
Around nutrition and how that plays a role.
definitely. I mean, though it started with my father, that lesson firstly became the importance of organic. And at that time, mid-20s, with that income, I made the choice that I would keep forth in organic, dairy and meat because, I couldn't afford an entire organic playlist at the time, right? But then, as that journey kept growing and then leading, and I will say, due to stress from my partner at the time and, way of life, everything was finally catching up. And then that's how it showed itself with the dyshidrogic eczema. And just so people know, I mean, the nickname term for that is meat grinder hands because it got on my fingers and it literally looked like raw. It was so painful, but it would go through my nerves and I could feel it in my brain, and it was incredible. Like I would love to just hug every person with it because I know that pain now. I remember that pain more than birth, like
Wow,
giving
that's
birth.
awful.
But that was when someone said, "Watch this movie." I watched it. It's called Serial Killers. And I said, at the time they were about to try that way of eating. And I said, I'll try it. Because I had gotten every steroid cream, I had gotten every pill that you could try. And that was the final call, is the moment I got prednisone. Tried prednisone for 7 days, and at the end of those 7 days, I not only felt like Superwoman, but I wanted to kill myself.
Oh God.
Like, that's how it reacted with me.
Right, the steroid. That's a steroid.
And like, I wanted to go punch everything. And it was like, this is not cool. And I've already kind of been a naturalist and like scared of that. So I was like, I'm not going back. I don't want a refill. And then this movie came and I watched it. And I said, okay, I'm going to try it. And within 14 days, everything completely gone. Then
Wow.
the side effects happened that I wasn't
The
planning.
eczema was gone
Gone.
because of in 14 days because of your diet.
Right. But then in the next 3 months, it became my acne was gone. My cramps were gone. I had lost 45 pounds. My allergies from animals my entire life. Gone. Like, it was like, what is this magic, right? And so, that is really what happened. And then I just started learning how much of it was affecting my mental health too. Because, from the heart, when I joined that, really started to focus on affirmation language, because that's a part I didn't understand in my mental health. But if I hadn't really too had this mental health change with my way of eating, I don't think I would have seen it as like beautiful as I then just said, take charge. You know what I mean?
Right,
Because
yes.
it helped the mental health like no other. From, you know what I mean? Like, you might be distraught, or I might get depressed before and be done for like 7 days on the floor. But
Right.
now, if I maintain the way of eating, because right, we all can have our slips. I had one this year too. But it's like, I won't stay as frozen now.
Yes.
And that's what shifted in the brain. I'm sure you guys have maybe heard the term grain brain.
I've never heard the term grain brain. Okay.
Amazing books about it, but it's about the power of what carbohydrates and sugar do to the brain and our thoughts and how clouded they can make us feel. But that was what I definitely did. I got rid of wheat grain specifically, not gluten-free, wheat itself. And to me, the most important one out of all of the changes that I will fight to the death of helping everybody get off of is the processed oils. Because even today, if I go eat something with canola oil or vegetable oil in it or cooked in it, I'll immediately feel itching.
Really?
But it's such a blockage to our pores and our
Processed
arteries.
oils?
And as you'll see, if you go on the journey, as we know too, it's in everything. So then to me, it became like, this is a systematic approach to take us down. It's in everything.
Wow.
But I express that because, I can occasionally have wheat now and still feel okay. But, now that just becomes more of, how do I want to feel? Because I'll notice, especially as a woman, if I throw off the diet, that next menstrual cycle will just be off with cramps and mental breakdown. It's so incredible to see the changes in that. And, I know I could talk all day about that.
Yes, I would love for you to come back and talk about that, because I am really very interested in what you're saying, because I'm thinking to myself, well, what about olive oil? What about, vegetable oil? I don't, and what kind of oil do you use, or how do you cook? I have 1,000 questions, but I'm looking at the movie Serial Killers, a 2013 documentary. It's about low carbs, correct? Basically, and cutting out processed food, that's what I'm imagining.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put the link in our chat as well. So Serial Killers movie. Okay. But let me see if there's a few comments in the chat. Let me make sure before we're out of time that I acknowledge and thank you. Someone says your sharing is going to make a difference for so many. Thank you. Another a person said, what is your mother doing to take care of herself?
Talking to me. No.
Oh.
You know, I got her back because that situation went south too, but I got her back in this city. I even got her back into the same area she was living. And I say that in seniorhood, you really understand the power of having them in a space they're comfortable in.
Absolutely.
She is, I mean, I'm her girl. I'm her only girl. I have three brothers outside of that. And, you know, I've just accepted she's part of my journey.
That's
So,
wonderful.
you know, I encourage
And
her.
she's off of the drugs. She's no longer drug addict.
I
That's
will say
wonderful.
she's a smoker. So I'm like, you could smoke all the cigarettes you want if you're off the crack cocaine. Like, do what you do. If that, you know what I mean? And that's just where she is in her life. And I just, you know, encourage her because she doesn't really do much, but she's still loving and she loves her plants and, you know.
Yeah,
So,
that's
yeah.
wonderful. It's one day at a time, I think, for all of us, right? One day at a time.
Yeah.
And what I love about you, Kalina, is your show up with love and support. And I love your notion of you cut the cord, but not all the way, because you're always mom. You're always going to be mom. And you always want to protect your children and have them be safe. And that's human nature. And that's what all parents want. So I appreciate you. Someone just said, what you just said really demonstrates the link between mental and physical wellness going both ways, the connection between mental health and physical health and what we put in our bodies.
They
and
need
how.
it. We are literally what we eat. And I, you know, you just don't, we are what we eat and what we think. And that's where I had to go because, yeah, I fixed the how I eat and felt that. But then it was like, well, how are you still thinking? You're still pretty. You haven't addressed the negative thoughts yet. And that's okay. You know what I mean? That's part of our journey of coming out of it or whatever we've lived through. So today I stand here stronger than I've ever been. And you know, one thing I just wanted to mention, because it's been on my mind since last night, where I'm like, and I'm sure you get it too, and anyone else on the call in this work, where you're like, you know, people think we do this work, but don't forget, we're not completely healed either. Like,
All
you
right.
know, let's stay humble. We're still working every day. But I know sometimes we can all get stuck. Like, we got to do this workshop and say that we're all done and healed. No, I'm not. You know what I mean? My daughter
No.
was 3 days ago with a crisis. Like,
And work in progress. I say all the time, work in progress, work in progress.
For a lifetime.
For a lifetime. That's
Yeah.
it. For a lifetime. That right there.
Yes.
We are healing and working through the journey for a lifetime. It's not like a light switch. You
Yeah.
go, oh, everything's perfect today. Okay, wonderful. No, no.
You will quickly be reminded. No, it's not.
Right. And stay in a space of gratitude and positive energy, looking at the positive. And I'm grateful that both of my kids have my young men, I call them kids, they're young men. I'm grateful for the Find My iPhone. So at any point in time, I can look and say, okay, they're good. You
Yeah.
know, they're good. At least I hope. I at least know where they are.
Right.
So there was a time I had no idea with Kyle, like for weeks on end.
Think of our parents. They didn't even have this option. We were just out there.
Right.
Right.
Right. As I said Chris's name, he dialed me on FaceTime. That's so funny. So I will call him back in 3 minutes, four
Uh-huh.
minutes. Does anybody want to ask a question for Kalina or one last comment or thought before we round out our day today? I appreciate everything you've said. It really struck a chord with me. Anyone want to, if you want to come off of mute, you can hit *6 if you'd like to make a comment or share anything. It looks like people are quiet this morning.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
That is so okay. Well, any last thoughts on getting through the holidays over the next couple of weeks?
I'll say two things, because again, I wanted to remind the thought I said about agreeing that the adverse situation is good. Even the holidays. Agree that this drama at your function is for the good. And release, and then use the law of non-resistance. You know what I mean? Like,
go back to the agree that the adverse situation is good. Share more on that. Agree that the adverse situation is good.
I'll read what I wrote in that thought, because that comment was from the Florence Scovel Shinn author. But
Okay.
I agree that the adverse situation is good, and I said that really helped me, not
Yeah.
knowing that this is like, or wait, not or not knowing that something is bad is, could harm my child, but whatever it is, I trust the universal lesson and purpose of this adverse situation and pray for her protection and send out love.
Yes,
I
that's
mean, and that's part of the law of non-resistance, where it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to trust, and that this might be good for something, even if it's right. Everything that happens to us becomes the story to help someone else. So, yeah, am I, you know what I mean?
that part.
Yeah.
Everything that happens to us becomes a story that helps everyone else. I
Exactly.
love that.
So let go, even in your, like you said, we're in the families, we're in the holidays. And in so many of us, we're just harboring such past stories. Like, no, let's just be in today. Let go. And you know what I mean? And just see then what might happen if you actually let go
That's right.
and be positive.
And
Positive
leave the
expectations.
past in the past. Leave the past in the past.
Yeah.
So, and work on being grateful and looking at the current situation with love. With
Yes.
love.
And positive expectation, I'd like to add. That would
Good
be
expectation. That part. Okay, one last question and then we'll wrap. Have you ever needed to reach out to hospitals while she was in crisis? So that they knew to contact you in case she was without a phone or an ID.
Yes. In fact, the last time I had to do it, which was interesting because I don't know if you guys know in the iPhone, like if a phone dies, sometimes when you go to look at their location, it'll jump to like six locations real quick and then goes dead stop. So it will. So it was like for hours, I had seen when I first checked it in the morning a hospital, but then it just kept going other places and then landed in the South Platte River. And even as a mom at that time, to sit still for 5 hours and you're seeing your kid's phone in the river, I was like, okay. So finally at 11 a.m., I said, just call the hospital on the map that you saw at 6 a.m. And I did. And she just happened to still be there. But and she happened to be just coherent enough to give permission for them to talk to me. Because I'm sure you guys know once they're 18, that's even more like,
Yes.
you can't get any information. So thank God she was enough to say yes, barely, barely. So
Thank
the nurse,
God.
helped me, but no, and to slightly go back to that question, no one's ever called me. I mean, so that's been scary too, is no one's ever contacted me when she was at a hospital, like the, because of the no phone or ID. But
Wow.
so again, iPhone map. Thank you.
Thank God.
For that.
Right. Wow. Well, you have been such an amazing spirit this morning and guest. And I'm so grateful that you are in my life and the work that you do with the From the Heart Foundation. I did put the link, but if you're on your phone, the link is From the Heart Co. So From the Heart Co, fromtheheartco.org. Please check it out. They do amazing work. Amazing, amazing, amazing work. So thank you, Kalina. We're going to pray for your children and all of our children and look forward with positive intention and positive expectations that this week will be wonderful and exactly how God has chosen it to be. And happy holidays. And I'm appreciative that you're here. You shared such wonderful nuggets with all of us. So thank you.
You for having me, truly.
Absolutely. Would love to have you come back and do something around nutrition and give us an update on what's happening as well. So I'll reach out to you about that. Okay. And Tiara will close us out in a closing prayer this morning.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for yet another Sunrise Sunday. We thank you again for Kelly Richardson and family for providing this platform. God, we thank you for our guest today, Kalina Ross Peterson, who shared her heart with us and helped us to see the importance of cutting the cord Lord, we thank you for understanding that while you have entrusted our children to our care, they are still yours. They still belong to you, Father God. Help us to release our children back to you as their creator, who gave them a future and a hope before they were even placed in our wombs or came forth in this earth. Yet give us divine balance in being able to weigh our role as parents against when is the right time to step back and let go. We pray your blessing over each and every person on this call and their families. May they have a peaceful, positive, powerful, and productive week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. And I love every word you said, Tiara. Thank you for that. And I want to just share that Kyle and Chris will be here this week. And Kyle will be, I have positive expectations, he will be our guest next Sunday. So he is going to share and talk about his transition from pain to purpose and his experience in Boulder and what's on the horizon, because he has shared that he is not doing hard drugs, praise God. And so he will be here next Sunday, God willing. And I look forward to that. So everybody have a beautiful week. Thank you again, Kalina. And little Chris is here. You want to come say hello, Chris? Nope. Our 18-year-old is here playing. But thank you so much, everyone. Have a beautiful day. And thank you again, Kalina. I really appreciate you. Bye-bye.